Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another Ask the Experts weekend. This expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete. Do the hustle.
Do the hustle. Good morning, all you hard workers, and welcome to this Sunday morning. Hope you got up, you yawned, you stretched, and you put the dogs out. You don't put the cats out. Why? Because you put the cats out, cats don't come back. That's what cats do. Dogs are a superior animal. Every week, you send me hate mail, all you cat lovers, and I do my part. I ignore it. Dogs are a superior animal. As you heard at the beginning of the show, Josh kicks it off every week and tells you what this show is about. This show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. So what does that mean? Well, that means it's about you, and the show is dedicated to you. You know why? Because we all work, right? We all, every one of us that's listening to this show right now, we all work. We did work. We know somebody that works. Our kids work. Our grandkids work. Whatever it is, we're part of this workforce, either directly or indirectly. And in this show, I tell you a lot of stories, and my guests share with you some of their personal experiences. And my guests are some of Jacksonville's most influential people every week, and this week is no different, folks. But we tell you about our career journeys, because your career is more like a journey. It's not very linear. You know, you do a lot of different things a lot of times before you find that one thing that you really love and that you're good at, and you make a life out of it. You make a long-term career out of it. But we've all done a lot of different things. And like I say each week, I don't know any trust fund babies that are just sitting on a big pile of $100 bills, just peeling them off and burning them or throwing them in the air or, you know, washing under their arms with them with soap and water. I don't know. I don't know those people. The people that I know, we have bills. We work hard. We do what we can to better ourselves. And you know what? Congratulations for listening to this show, because the things that we share with you help you to be more effective or help you to be better at your career so that perhaps you can get that next step, the promotion, or you can get into a career that's more fulfilling for you. I'm not afraid to tell you where I made a career mistake, where I've skinned my knees, or maybe I took a left where I should have taken a right. And I tell you these things, you know, I'm an open book. Why? So that you can hear it, you can learn from it, and maybe you can walk around a pothole that I stepped in. All right. Now, each week I kick it off with a little story or a monologue, if you will, and today is no different. Now, I'm going to talk about business right now. I don't know about you, but in my career, I have participated in some of the worst, ill-thought-out, unnecessary meetings. I've been around for a long time, so I bet if you added up all the minutes, it would be years that I've spent in conference rooms or in conference calls with these meetings. Some of them are thrown together haphazardly and at the last minute. Hey, everybody has to meet in the conference room right now. So-and-so is speaking. Oh, really? What about all the things I had planned to do today? I have a busy day, and my day's important to me. Okay, I'm going to reschedule to go in there. And then I go into the meeting and realize it doesn't impact me one iota. Nothing to do with me. Or I go in and I sit and listen to someone drone on. Or they begin with one topic and it morphs into something else entirely. And then sometimes you got the meetings where, you know, I just don't know. So what I want to do at the beginning right now is just tell you a few things that you can do if you plan to have a meeting, what you can do to make sure that it's an effective meeting. Okay? The first thing to do is decide whether or not you even need to have a meeting, right? That's number one. Because, folks, there's a lot of way to disseminate information. Not everybody has to get together. Not everybody has to listen to you pontificate if you're the one that's calling the meeting. I want you to think about that. Is this the best way to communicate the information? Do I really need a meeting? That's number one. Number two, only invite those who are really necessary. Oh my gosh, man, I wish I could have told some of the people that I've worked with this over the years, because I had a regional manager that really wanted to go through the numbers of each branch together on the phone. Now, I remember sitting in Jacksonville saying, what happens in North Andover, Massachusetts doesn't relate to me, okay? And the needs of their clients, even the bill rates and the pricing was different there. But we went through everything in painful detail, and I sat through 20 unnecessary minutes listening to the New Hampshire manager talk when I could have been doing something that might have been more revenue-producing or more productive with my time. So number two, remember that. Only invite those who are really necessary. Number three is, of course, you're going to send out an Outlook invitation if that's what you use. An invitation has to be sent out, but if it's an important meeting, and you're only going to call meetings that are important. We already talked about that in number one. What you need to do is send out a reminder. People are busy and they get caught up, even though it's in their calendar. I've been guilty of this before. I miss a meeting, but a reminder, a friendly, gentle reminder, today at 10:30, we're having this meeting. It helps people to get a little bit more in tune and prepared for it. And those people that might get too into their workday and not look at their calendar, that happens. This will help eliminate that. So send out a reminder. Here's the key thing. Number four, and you better do this. Have an agenda, doggone it. If you don't have an agenda, I always say a meeting without an agenda is an ambush, because you don't know what you're walking into, right? You have to have an agenda. Not only that, number five is be clear about your expectations. You can have an agenda. Here's what we're going to do, all the events. But what is the intended outcome or outcomes that you're looking for? And you have to be very, very specific and make sure it's communicated to everybody prior to the meeting. Has to happen. Now, this one might seem simple. I think I'm on number five. Is that right? Number five? Or am I on six? I'm on six. I got my guests and my handy producer right here.
You're
Scott
on number
telling
six.
Me I'm on number six. Number six is start on time. Right? I mean, that seems pretty much like a given. You got to start on time. But how many times have you got in the meeting? We got an 8 o'clock meeting. Here it is, 8:05. We're waiting for such and such to dial in. We're waiting for this wave. You start on time. You can't, you know, delay 10, 15 minutes. It's not going to happen. Number seven, keep it short and simple and stay on track. I've seen so many meetings where, you know, as soon as somebody else wants to talk and drone on, if you get off topic, you have to let people know, let's table that. That's for a different meeting. Let's get back. Let's stay on topic. We say we're going to end it this time. Let's keep it on time and on track. So keep it short and simple. I got really two. Doggone it, I'm going to have to go into two. Go into both of them. Number eight. I don't even know. You know what? Scott doesn't even know. I believe it's number eight.
Something about an agenda.
Right. Number eight is, you know, visual interest always helps. If you can use technology, use technology. You know, have a PowerPoint, a point, a display, whatever it is. Use something to have some visual interest instead of just sitting all and talking in front of each other. Don't put it in if it's unnecessary or doesn't, you know, we don't need everything to look beautiful if the content isn't great. But if you can use something, some visual interest will help. And the very last thing that I say when we're talking about meetings is send out a meeting summary at the end. Have a conclusion. Have some steps. Let people know what happened. If there are next steps and expectations that are time-bound deadlines, make sure you send it out to everybody. So this is a summary to help let everybody know exactly what the heck they just sat through. So I'm going to get off of my pontificating right now, and I'm going to introduce our guest, guys. Now, today, I am very happy to welcome back the world-famous Lori Day. Lori, welcome to Hard Work and Repeat the Job Guy.
Thank you. I'm so glad I'm famous in this world.
Yes,
this
you
is
are.
Great.
Of course you are. Lori, you're a very accomplished business executive here in Jacksonville. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, yeah, I have had a career in the corporate world. I've had a run in the entrepreneur land. And I would say both are rich, rewarding, and always something fun to learn. I am passionate about this community right here, so it's a delight to be part of your show that's serving so many people that are out there. And when I think about what our community does, both from a corporate perspective, economic development, and just a place, a great place to live, work, and play, I just couldn't think of anything better. So it's been great to be here for so many years. And like I said, your listeners are a big part of that. We are the largest city in the continental United States. If you think about that, that's pretty impressive.
Go Jacks.
Not people-wise, but the more I see the traffic building from the northeast areas I've been part of before, we're trying to catch up in that space. So I think certainly the landscape that we have for workers is getting rich and richer in many ways.
You know, I got to say, because, you know, I mean, we don't go as far back as Cowford, but you've been in Jacksonville a long time. I've been in Jacksonville a long time. And we always say the BTC days of Jacksonville, which is before Town Center, right? You know, because you get your before and after that. But you remember when, you know, Butler, and I talk about this a lot, was a two-lane toll road. You know, there was east, one lane.
Yes,
west,
we do go back that far.
Lane, and they're both toll roads. And the Town Center area, even where all those big buildings are and all the, you know, all the condos are, the cow pastures. Just cow pastures.
And when I think about kind of where we're going and where we've been, I guess we need to come up with an acronym for before and after the landing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
right?
That's
so,
another one,
so
too.
We were before landing, and now we are in the path of after the landing, what that's going to look like. So, yeah, I think there's some interesting history.
Right. Can you tell us, tell the listeners a little bit about Leadership Jacksonville?
Absolutely. So a great organization that focuses on bringing a cohort together each year and for those individuals to really learn the rich history of Jacksonville, the resources in plenty and resources that are gaps, quite frankly, in how we all can be community stewards and contribute. And not only ways that you think of typically as far as monetarily or being part of not-for-profits, but what are we doing as a community to help create a really rich place for our culture, our youth of tomorrow? How do we bridge some of those economic areas for the people who may be in zip codes that aren't traditionally served? But it's really a way that the community comes together from all walks of life, one year at a time, dives deep into how the whole city runs and what we can do as a community to help make it better.
Great. You know, and I'll tell you what, I love Jacksonville. I'm from Boston originally.
Really? So,
yeah, oh, yeah. Well, you know, this nasally, you know, park the con, hard worker. you wouldn't even know it, would you? But you know, so many of us end up here. You know, we're not born and raised in Jacksonville. We end up here because they don't make walls in the states that we come from, right? We can come down here to Jacksonville, Florida, and it's beautiful here. And you have, you know, the beautiful River City by the sea. You have the St. John's River. You have the Intercoastal. You have beautiful oceans everywhere. You have some of the area's best colleges around so that there's a great workforce here. You have a port that is fast becoming one of the largest ports. Why? Because you got I-10 and you have I-95. Why wouldn't you drop a whole bunch of stuff in Jacksonville? Because you can get anywhere from there. I love this city, and I'm proud to be a steward of Jacksonville. And you know, I sound like the doggone Chamber of Commerce when I talk to my friends who incidentally get 9 feet of snow a year, and I haven't shoveled that stuff for 35 years. Let's talk about some workforce-related stuff right now. The first one, because I know you and I could go on and on and talk about anything. But conflict management and conflict resolution in business is something I want to talk about for a little bit. And, you know, as long as people work with each other, just think about the school days. You have your clique over here and these people get along with this one and this one's irritating and pulling the back of your hair and hitting you with a spitball or whatever. That's the workforce. OK, well, you know, maturity level might be a little different. but there still are cliques, and not everybody works at the same pace, and people don't really, you know, and I see more and more, especially a generation coming up that's so glued to their cell phones, they're better communicators with the device than they are with the people next to them. And I watch, and you can see things stewing with people, and they don't engage each other always in a professional manner, and it's not always the kiss delivery method of trying to improve something. Hey, you're doing a great job, but I need to see more of this and less of this, but you're doing a great job. You know, conflict resolution and conflict's always going to be there, but it's how we manage that conflict and how we treat it. And a lot of different businesses and people treat that differently, but I want to talk about it. Let's talk about conflict and let's talk about some of the potential solutions. What do you think, Lori?
So there's a lot there we could unpack, and I think at the true nature of the word conflict becomes the mechanism to determine if there's a challenge, an issue, or a misunderstanding, right? So oftentimes we as human beings have this thing about filling in the blanks, and the blanks are what we don't know, with our own imagination. And a lot of time that imagination will be filling it with things that are the worst possible
worst case scenario. That's where our brains go.
And it's to create a protective environment. It goes back to like the caveman days. And there's research that talks about it's how do I prepare myself for the fight or flight? And so when we don't have the information and we start filling in those blanks ourselves, oftentimes we are positioning what our thoughts are, because our thoughts start that then create an emotion that then creates an action in that sequence, right? So if we think something is a certain way, that creates an emotion for us, which then creates a response. So the trouble goes when you don't validate if what you thought is really what's there. And sometimes conflict is true because there is a disparity in a point of view, but oftentimes it's a misunderstanding or a lack of understanding of where things are. And in the workplace, particularly when you think about cultivating a very diverse team so that you can truly get the best ideas and create an environment where everyone is able to bring their authentic self to work every day, you need to cultivate a safe place where people can share and ask questions and validate if their understanding is what's there. And when you don't have that safety, that's typically when we start filling in the blanks.
I see.
And so when you think about the workplace and having a leadership mechanism where there's trust and there's a culture that says it's safe to ask questions or safe to be to be able to bring a different point of view that may be different, that the leader has, if it's safe, then you suddenly are able to get to the root of what the conflict is. And that requires vulnerability to be able to ask or raise your hand, particularly when there's maybe a hierarchical structure that gets in people's mind, like, oh, this is the boss. I don't know if I want to ask this question because she may not think my idea is good or may feel like I'm challenging her. But instead, if there's a culture that says it's safe to ask questions and safe to bring up ideas, then people feel safe to be vulnerable.
Is that table set from the top down?
It is. It really is. And a lot of it is the unspoken word as much as what you articulate as what the culture is. The unspoken word oftentimes becomes the culture within the culture. So we say we're going to do this on the right hand, but the outcomes are something different. And so suddenly those thoughts that turn into emotions that become into actions are different than what we say our culture is. So it takes a courageous leader to be able to, one, show their own authentic side and be open to feedback, and also be able to it be in a challenging conversation where there is different points of view that may not align, and be able to manage that in a safe setting, because that whole idea of being able to show up and be vulnerable. It's not about being right or wrong. And this is not a quote from me. This is one of my very favorite authors, Brené Brown, has said, vulnerability is not about being right or wrong. It's about having the courage to show up regardless of what the outcome is when you don't know how it's going to go, but being courageous enough to say, hey, I think we've got something going on here. Let's talk about it. And being open to listen to what others have to say and their points of view, and really understand, you know, we talked about thoughts become emotions that become actions. Let's go backwards, because sometimes that's when you start finding out why there's a disconnect.
Oh, I love that, because if you let the emotion dictate the action, there's going to be an apology down the road, probably.
Right. Let's hope so.
Right. You know what, Lori, I want to hang on for just a second, because I want to tell my listeners about Houlihan Territory. Houlihan Territory, guys, if you need irrigation, if you have patches in your lawn, it's that time of year where the water, the rain is a little bit sporadic, or maybe you haven't dialed in your sprinklers and you have a little patch of grass that's looking a little messy, you call the good folks at Houlihan Territory. My friend Scott Houlihan will take care of you. And not only do they do irrigation, they do wells, they do pumps, and even when it comes time for the holidays, and it's a long ways off now, but they do Christmas lights. You know why he does that? And when Scott Houlihan told me he does that, because he doesn't want to lay the people off, his workers that he's had for years and years, when it's a different season. Nobody's doing sprinklers in the winter. So what he does is he installs Christmas lights, and he's been doing that for over 10 years. Now he's probably the number one guy in town. But Houlihan Territory, guys, 904-285-8505. Call them and you let them know Pete the Job Guy told you to call. You won't get anything special, because everybody's special over at Houlihan Territory. But give my good folks a call. They're the ones that take care of my yard. And if you ever drive by my house, my grass is green, perfect, and my sprinklers work perfectly. So he even takes care of the broken ones that the fools that installed it for you in the first place that didn't get it just right. He cleans up anybody's mess in town. Houlihan Territory. All right, Lori, let's get back into this right here. It seems to me, and we're going to table conflict management resolution in a second, but it seems to me a healthy dose of communication, a top-down approach, a vulnerability to say, listen, it could be me, right?
Or there might be a
better way. What if we have two employees, a scenario where one person is showing up on time every day, showing up at 8 o'clock, working hard, and then the person next to him shows up at 8:15 one day, oh, my car, 8:20 the next day, has no reason, 8 o'clock the next day, you know, 8:30 the next day, showing up late. But the boss doesn't notice, because maybe the boss works in a different area, but it's, you know, it's kind of like trust. What is employee A, the good doobie, how does that person handle it? Does that person go to the boss? Does that person say to employee B, hey, you know, you're really not showing up on time, and it's affecting all of us. It's affecting the team. How would you suggest employee A handle that?
So let me make sure. Employee A is the one that comes on time?
That's the good
okay,
doobie.
All right. So I'm not going to call them the good doobie, because we don't know yet what's going on with employee B.
All right.
So I think it's an interesting scenario and could truly be any number of things that have that type of condition. Going back to, we're filling in the blanks. Mm-hmm. So employee A may be filling in the blanks that employee B is not the good doobie when they are, right?
Yeah, they could be rushing to judgment, like maybe I just did right there, right?
Just saying. So I'm thinking that if employee A is concerned, and it could be distracted by it, quite frankly, mm-hmm. maybe a little annoyed. So the thought is, this person is just deliberately not showing up on time. Then the emotion is, I'm pissed because they're not doing their work and I'm
right.
covering for them. And then the action is, I'm going to give them a cold shoulder. I'm going to be nasty, whatever. So that whole flow of what happens when we think needs to kind of unwind. So the healthy employee A would say to employee B, hey, I noticed that, you know, things have been a little bit sporadic lately. Are you doing okay? And depending on what employee B says, they might say, yeah, I talked to the boss and she said that I could work flexible hours because she needed someone to cover at the end of the day or at lunch or whatever. So suddenly employee A is like, oh, okay, I get it. That's why they're not here consistently. Okay, that could be. Or it could be that employee B says, I'm really going through something really hard at home. And, you know, it's...
Thank you for asking.
Thank you for asking. And I just don't know what to do. And I know that I'm going to get in really big trouble with the boss. And but thank you for noticing. And so suddenly the empathetic employee A can help this person, first of all, show understanding that they empathize with what's going on and offer to help that employee have the courage themselves to be their authentic selves and talk to the boss.
You know what, Lori? I love how you just took that real world scenario, right? With no heads up, you know, guys,
you.
This is live radio. There's no heads up here. You know, Lori doesn't know what I'm going to talk about, but you took and totally employed the strategy that you talked about up front to a real world situation where, you know, the good doobie I called A, we'll just call employee A, right?
We'll
just say that person, by not rushing to judgment, inserting the fact that that person, you know, doesn't care, maybe it had too much a Tuesday to show up on time on a Wednesday or something, you know, and then letting their emotion dictate perhaps in attack mode. Hey, I'm getting sick of this. Mm-hmm. I'm here every day on time and you're not. You're blah, blah, blah. Just by slowing it down. Working from the back to front instead, bringing the emotion out of it, you know, and asking questions and effectively communicating, it changed everything just in that scenario. That was very well done.
Well, let's just say that you were right, though.
Yep.
Employee A was the good doobie, and employee B just didn't care. And the conversation, hey, everything okay? I'm like, yeah, man, I had a great time last night, and... You know, they never know what time I'm rolling in or out because the boss doesn't come around and this and that. And then the employee A could say, you know, I really care about this team, this work, and the customers we're serving. Maybe we should rethink that.
That's a whole different discussion. And maybe at that time, we bring in the boss, too, and just say, hey,
right,
Here's what's going on. Guys, that music right there is telling us we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. Lori, stay with us for the second half. Guys, you're listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, on News 104.5 WOKV. Do the hustle. Welcome back, all you hard workers. Wow, what a great Sunday we're having. If you didn't catch the first part of this show, the first segment, Lori Day is my guest. She's a business executive right here in Jacksonville, Florida. Has been here every bit as long as I have, and I've been here too long to even tell you how many years it's been. But we're talking about real world issues in the workforce. We talked all about conflict resolution, conflict management, and some things you can do to manage conflict and to make sure you come out with a positive outcome as best you can in the workplace. And Lori had some great tips. The next thing we want to talk to you about today is reliability. And you know what? You guys know I run a temporary staffing agency, and I have to really coach people up to, you know, show up on time, to work. If you're authorized 40 hours a week, work 40 hours a week. We understand that sometimes life gets in the way, but as much as you can, give your boss a heads up. Let them know, hey, I'm going to be a few minutes late. I'll work through lunch, or I'll work late this day to cover for that. I apologize, or I have a game and 2 weeks that my kid has. I really like to leave a little bit early. But how are you going to make up for that? The reliability is something that, you know, I've seen so many people, because I am in the employment business, that it's not as inherently important to people as it should be. And I know, given my Navy career, Navy requires you, any military service, unquestioned reliability. When they call general quarters and there's enemy gunboats inbound and you're on a ship, you can't say, you know, I'm not feeling it right now. Or I'm going to be a little bit late today. Or, you know, I got to knock off. I'm not going to be able to man my battle station. Right. So with the Navy and with the service comes unquestioned reliability, and that comes into my workforce. I don't show up late. I don't have issues. If something's going on that requires my attention outside of work where life does get in the way periodically, it's not a habit, and I make sure that I make up for it. Lori, what are some things that you think about when it comes to workforce reliability?
So I think that's really important for a leader who is leading a team to have a reliable workforce. And I guess one of the key things from an employee's perspective, if you think about, and you will go far if you do this, that if you think about if what you do helps your leader, man or woman, be better equipped to make decisions, have less worry and issues that are non-value add, and can bring good quality deliverables to them, you'll go far.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about a leader who has associate development on their plate, they also have their own deliverables, they have perhaps a revenue target, they have customers to serve and take care of, they've got phone calls that are coming, they've got the meetings, the death by meetings that we talked about
right.
that are happening. So if I'm an unreliable employee, I've now just added more drama to their plate, right? And so that makes me less valuable to the employer. And so when we think about coming up and showing up, that reliability goes beyond just coming in on time. It's about knowing how to interact with your team. We talked a little bit about that. It's about understanding how your leader best works so you can be reliable on being able to manage your emails if that's his or her way of helping you know what you need to work on. And it's also about confidentiality. Mm-hmm. I think reliability is really important when you think about refraining from gossip, refraining from talking about stuff, even with your friends and family, about things you think might be no big deal. But if there's, particularly in a public company, if there are things that are being planned, you really have to own the confidentiality in a very reliable way. And again, that makes you extremely valuable, or it puts a little nick in your armor.
You know, I've seen that from leaders that leak out a little bit of information that maybe they don't have the whole story, or they're talking out of school, so to speak. And you know, you hear things and you're like, ooh, why would you talk about that? Especially, you know, if it's a peer leader and you're a leader and you hear somebody else, you're like, wow, I would never have said that. But the management responsibility is different, I believe, than the individual contributor responsibility from a reliability standpoint, too. We can kind of distinguish between the two. I know as a leader, consistency is so important. I had a manager one time, if he walked in the room with a newspaper under his arm, I didn't know if he was going to read it to me or hit me over the head with it. I mean, he was that all over the map. I mean, depending on what his life was happening to him outside of work, whatever was going on dictated his mood for the day. He's all over the map. I think one of the key things that a leader can bring is a level of consistency. The employees, the people under subordinates, they know what to expect from that leader. What do you think of that?
I do. I think that goes back to being authentic and being genuine. And so if you are who you are and are willing to, you know, admit that you don't always get it right, but that you can be trusted to communicate what you know when you know it, that's a form of reliability, so that the employees don't have to fill in the blanks or worry about what's not being said. The manager, if they are reliably giving feedback, there's not going to be surprises during performance reviews. If they are being reliable about setting expectations and not changing how they're, you know, what they're going to grade or set their performance around, if they're reliably able to be consistent in that space, both communication and behavior, to your point, you don't, you take away a lot of the distractions in the workforce. And just like an employee can control their value by being reliable, a manager can control their value by being, did I say it right? By being valuable, because, or by being reliable. Because here's the thing, and Pete, you've said this before, that people leave jobs not because of money most of the time. It's because they're leader.
It typically is.
And reliability in a leader is one of the important pieces of feeling that trust and that loyalty. So again, you can control your own value by how reliable you are.
You know what? I'm really glad that you brought in the performance management piece of this from a leadership perspective and being reliable, because that's part of being a leader, is to communicate, okay, what is the desired performance? Okay, what is your actual performance? What are the gaps in between that we can fill in to bring you from actual to the desired performance? And then meet with these performance reviews with a consistent degree of regularity so that people know where they stand. You know, okay, this is great stuff, but we have something big right now, important, that we have to get to. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where we have to have a rematch between Lori Day and our producer, Scott Young, right now in a trivia contest. I love that music that we're playing. This is very important trivia music. I hope everybody enjoys this. All right, guys, the very first question. Who's going first?
Ladies first.
Ladies first.
Thank you.
All right, Lori Day. On the New York Stock Exchange, what is the ticker tape symbol for Anheuser-Busch Company? Think about it. Anheuser-Busch.
Sam.
Nope. Ah. What do you got?
AHB.
No! Bud. B-U-D. Ah.
I'm a Miller guy.
Let me go a little bit easier.
That was Sam Adams that I said too. So, oops. I guess sorry, our Anheuser-Busch friends out there.
Fill in the blank, Scott. One blank. In business, blank is the glue that holds the customer relationship together.
Reliability.
Close. Lori?
Service.
Ah, you guys are close. Trust. All right, you guys are making me go to the easy questions. Lori, this is you. What fictional city is the home of Batman?
Gotham.
Yes. One to nothing. Scott, in which sport would you perform the Fosbury Flop?
I believe that would be a diving maneuver, wouldn't it?
Ah. Lori?
Soccer.
Ah. Well, wrong. That's the high jump. Dick Fosbury. He was the first guy to jump. Back first. They used to kind of go belly over the high jump. Okay.
Okay.
Lori, spinach is high in which mineral?
Iron.
Yes, 2-0. Bing, 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 bing. Scott, what is a Geiger counter used to detect?
Radioactivity.
That is correct. Bing, 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 2-1. Lori, which planet is closest to the Earth?
Venus.
Correct. Bing, 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 bing. 3-1.
Scott, I'm your Venus.
According to the old proverb, to which European capital city do all roads lead?
All roads lead to Rome.
That is correct. Lori, for the win, this would be best out of 4-2 if you get this. And listen to the question carefully.
Oh, what a shame. She had mic issues. Darn, I hate when that happens.
It's good to be the producer. What are the street lights in Hershey, Pennsylvania, designed to look like?
A kiss.
Yes, Hershey kiss. Lori wins the rematch.
Well played.
All right, guys, this is a perfect time to go to our leadership lessons from Coach Larry. Each week, Larry gives us a tip or a couple of tips that are going to help managers become effective leaders. With no further ado, let's go to our leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
Today I'm going to share some tips so that your internal emails get noticed and people take action. This may sound pretty basic, but I can tell you firsthand, it doesn't matter if you're the boss, the CEO, or you want to share that the office has just won the lottery pool. Emails simply don't get attention. So the first thing we need to do is explore, why does this happen? Why do you send an email asking people to take action and they completely ignore you, even if you are the boss? First of all, please don't take it personally. And by personally, I mean that it really is your fault. No, seriously. We have thousands upon thousands of things competing for our attention every day. I know myself, I will open an email and say, oh yeah, I need to do that. Oh, it's due next week. When I'm at my best, I put a reminder in my calendar. But if that next to-do buzzes in, whether it's a text, someone stopping by, or if there's free donuts in the break room, then your email and your task that you just sent me, now it's old news. But today I'm not going to talk about how to manage your tasks or emails, but I want to give you some tips that will increase the likelihood of people taking action on your emails. The first tip came from my old workplace. We decided as a group that we would create subject lines that clearly stated the expectation of the reader. We used three prompts. We would start the subject line with action required, or response required, or for your information, or FYI. And if it was an action or response required, we would put a due date in the heading. These specific ones may not work in your office, but find out what does. A couple of hints when it comes to assigning due dates, and this comes from psychology. What happens when you give someone 2 weeks to do something? Well, typically they either forget or take the full 2 weeks. If you give the person 1 week to do something, then it gets their attention. Many people are pressure prompted. I know I am. Now, that doesn't mean that you give them 1 week to do something that takes 2 weeks. But be careful not to set a task too far into the future, because people are going to forget it. You know, another thing that really grinds my gears, it's when I get an email forwarded to me that contains a super long string of emails that sometimes go back weeks in time. The original subject line has been forwarded multiple times, and many times it's not relevant anymore. And the worst part about it is that that sender doesn't even specify what they need. They just forward the email, and they expect me to read the whole history and pick out the action items. And guess what? I used to do that. I would read the whole thing. And by doing that, I was reinforcing this poor behavior that Larry's going to figure it out. So tip number two, if you want people to pay attention to your emails, check the subject line to make sure it still makes sense, and then summarize what you want them to do at the top. That's courtesy. Don't just ask them to read the whole string of emails. You need to make it easy for them. Thirdly, I like reading emails that are scannable. Yes, you may be an excellent and entertaining writer, but in business, we need to always assume that people simply don't have the time to read. I'm not saying it's right, but they don't. So put the ask up front in the email. Use words like what you need to do, what I expect from you. Use bullets, use numbers, bold things. And you could always provide more information, you know, for that person that always likes to read the whole history. But tell them that if they want more information, read below. Finally, get agreement from your team that everyone will follow these guidelines. It doesn't work so well if only a handful of people are using these tips. And stick to it. In no time, it will become a habit. And you're going to notice that your emails are getting the attention they deserve. So let me know how it goes. And if you have additional tips, I'd love to hear about them. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn or via my website, MendozaAndOBrien.com.
Oh, another gem from Coach Larry. Mendoza and O'Brien is the website. Go out there. Larry O'Brien is the chief learning officer. I've known Larry for many, many years, and I've always ignored his email because there's nothing that jumps out at me about. I'm just kidding. Larry's tips help us all, guys. And I invite you to go out to my website, PeteTheJobGuy.com. You can listen to all of Coach Larry's lessons. They're all lined up, and we segmented them out. So you don't have to listen to my whole doggone show. All you have to do is go right to Coach Larry, and you can learn a lot from that stuff. Just grab a pen and paper and jot down some notes. I even have some folks that say, Pete, every time I have a leadership lesson in my office, we play a Coach Larry segment, and then we kind of implement what he talked about and have some good, healthy discussion around it. So it's good that we're making you think, and you guys are taking action on it. If you ever want to send me a note,
You want to work with me? I'm a professional recruiter. I'm Pete the Job Guy, doggone it. Just send me an email, pete@petethejobguy.com. Go out to my website. If you want to get a nice T-shirt or recommend somebody to get a Pete the Job Guy T-shirt because they're a certified hard worker, there's a form you can fill out on my website. I'll be happy to send you one. Only if someone's going to represent, though. You got to be a hard worker. You can't wear the T-shirt and not be a hard worker. All right, let's go. Lori, we're talking about some workforce things. We talked about workforce reliability, conflict management resolution. The last thing we were just saying is that the manager's consistency is key. We touched a little bit on performance evaluations. Is there a particular interval that should a performance? I know feedback we should give every day, but I think about... some people say every 30 days, that might be too much, once a quarter, an annual performance review that might have your raise dependent on it. Is there a frequency that makes more sense than others?
I think it's very much dependent on the job itself and the associate who's working and the manager's role. But I think what I would say is certainly feedback should be all the time, and I don't mean like every minute, but where you have a weekly, let's say a weekly one-on-one, and you're meeting with your manager once a week, talking about how things are going, what you're working on, what your challenges are, and things like that. In those conversations, there should be time for some informal feedback and performance coaching on some of those. I like to consider some of that to be feed forward rather than feedback. So if we think about feedback, you already did something, here's some way you could have done that better, versus feed forward, these are some of the things you're working on in the future. Let's maybe role play a little bit or talk about how we're setting that up. So I think feed forward is just as important as feedback. But when it comes to performance reviews, when we think about truly formalized components that will align with merit increases, potentially bonuses.
Yeah, there's so much riding on performance reviews.
There's a lot. So I think it's unfair for an employee to hear once a year how well they did compared to how they thought versus how their manager thought. At least twice a year to know that if midway you thought it was one way, going back to kind of what we talked about before, is am I filling in the blanks with the right stuff or not? And that way you have at least runway to course correct if you need. I think quarterly is great because those are better bites that you can sink your teeth into some successes. Also look at ways in which to expand some of the things you're doing, show more value throughout the year. I like quarterly performance reviews and, once a year to feel like my whole year's been wrapped in a bow of four different measurements. There's no surprises, and hopefully I've exceeded the expectations of my manager because I knew along the way, because they were being reliable and consistent, I knew what I could do to help add value.
Hey, excellent tie-in right there. Another excellent tie-in. Guys, I think it's time we make a big announcement right now. Coming up in just a few short weeks, Lori Day is going to do a takeover of Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. Woo, Lori! Woo-hoo!
That would be the hardest worker, right?
Uh-huh. And you're going to do, I'm going to tell you, this is her show. She's going to have her guests. I have zero input on Hard Worker that day.
Oh, boy.
I have nothing to do with it.
This is going to be so fun.
I can't wait to see who you have. I want everybody to go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. Go to the website. We're going to announce it. We're going to have all the dates. And I think it's great because it's a whole different perspective. And I'll be listening to your live show.
Yeah.
We'll see what
kind of talks
you got. You
better be calling in, too.
Guys, with no further ado, we're going to go right now to Boston Danny. Guys, if you have a birthday, if you have a special event, if you have something that you want to be recognized for, or you'd like to recognize somebody for something special, go to PeteTheJobGuy.com, go under the Boston Danny, under the weekly contributors section, and fill out a little form. Boston Danny will give you a shout out like only Boston Danny can. So with no further ado, let's go to Boston Danny with the Boston Update.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny from Boston here. Well, sorry I missed you last Easter, but, it's a busy weekend, just getting back off vacation. It was a really good time to get up with my family and catch up with everybody. kind of a lot of laughs. We were looking at old pitches. It seemed like every one of our Easter pitches, they were taken in the driveway with our church clothes on, from oldest to youngest. And there was just a lot of the pitches like that. We had years of them. There were pitches without me in it. You know, I'm the youngest of six. So there's some years there was just four kids, five kids. And then, of course, you know, they broke the mold when they got me on board. So it was kind of funny. It was good to see the family again. Everything was good. Lot going on, though. Love Florida, like I let you guys know. Hooked up with Peter and Angie. We had a great time, Cheryl and I. A lot of laughs. We made plans. We're going to do it again. So everything went really well. Till I got home here to Boston, of course, it was raining and cold and wasn't working out too good. But, you know, a couple of days we had a couple inches of rain. Everything's still very cold. We're still in the 40s. But it is. We know it's going to come. Actually, today it was 56 degrees. Relatively balmy for what we had going on. So I apologize I missed you for Easter, but we're going back full-fledged. We'll get those Boston facts together and everything will go great. I hope you people enjoyed yourselves too. I have some shout outs. We got some birthdays this week. We got Jackie Grisbin, Corey Aunt, Leah Gizzy, and Rich Cook. Happy birthday to you. Have a wicked piss a day. Make sure those birthday wishes get made and hopefully they'll come through for you. I want to give a great congratulations. She has a 12-year anniversary on being a really hard worker. Mary Marks, 12 years, the CEO of Pay Center for Girls. She's done a wonderful job there, I'm sure, and everybody loves her. So, Mary, congratulations to you. And Bonnie, like I said, I've apologized for Easter. You know, I promise I'll get him in for Peter. He gave me a little hiccup on it too. But check out Pete's The Job Guy website. I did a makeup for you, so maybe you can get it. Folks in Jacksonville, brothers and sisters, enjoy the week. I loved your sunshine. I love the weather down there, but give me New England anytime. I'm waiting for spring to sprung up here. We got some flowers happening, and everything's looking real pretty. Make sure you get up here. Peter, I'll be in touch with you. Thank you.
Oh, Boston Danny, another authentic, crazy Boston, great, great update. Love Boston Danny. Make sure you guys go to PeteTheJobGuy.com and send any announcement that you'd like Boston Danny to make, and he'll give you a wicked pissa special shout out. All right, guys, this has been another great show. I thank my guest, Lori Day. She's always phenomenal. I want to remind everybody that I work for SNI Companies. It's a staffing company right here in town. I am surrounded by the area's best recruiters. So if you need talent, if you need to find a skill set, a candidate that's in a short supply, high demand skill set, you reach out to me, Pete the Job Guy, 904-713-2550, and we'll be happy to help you. I'm at SNI Companies. Now, I told you there's a big takeover, and it's coming up in just a few weeks. Lori Day, my guest for today, is going to take over the show, but we're gonna see if she can end the show right now, and I'm going to shut up and push it over to you, Lori. Go ahead and wrap it up.
Ooh, thanks, Pete. This is Lori Day here, and we're so glad to hear Jacksonville on our radio show today. And, of course, we've had Pete, the job guy, with us. So I just want to tell you guys, rest up today on this beautiful Sunday and get ready to go out there and be a hard worker.